The explosive new film, Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost, exposes secrets behind the government's takedown of General Michael Flynn.
Flynn knew what the intel world had been up to.
He ordered the first audit of the use of contractors. This set off alarm bells.
He told the truth. He was the most dangerous person for Donald Trump to hire. They had to get rid of Flynn.
Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost. Available now. Watch it today. Go to SalemNow.com. SalemNow.com.
Now it's time to think and discern. This is Bob Burney Live.
Welcome to the 5 o'clock hour of Bob Burney Live. Thank you for joining me. Telephone number 877 Bob Live, 877 262-5483, and this will be the last 5 o'clock hour that I will be with you for a while. Tomorrow, early afternoon tomorrow, I leave for Indonesia with the Bible League, and we'll be back the following week, the end of the week. I'll be off the air just a day or so more than a week. Looking forward to it. I haven't traveled with Bible League for several years. I've been basically all over the world with the Bible League. And looking forward to it. Yesterday I looked up the weather forecast. 85 to 90 degrees every day and rain every day that we're there. At least that's the forecast. But at least it won't be cold. But it hasn't been cold here either. I would really appreciate your prayers. It's a long, long trip here to Chicago and then Chicago to Tokyo. That's 13 and a half hours, either 2 or 2.5 hour layover in Tokyo, and then another 8.5 hours to Jakarta, Indonesia. 12-hour time difference. So if it's 11 a.m. here, it's 11 p.m. there. At least it'll be easy to keep track of the time difference, 12-hour time difference. So anyway, I would appreciate your prayers for safety for all of us, and more than anything, that God would just open my eyes to what's going on in Indonesia, largest Muslim country in the world, Indonesia. Largest Muslim country in the world. We have been assured we're not going anyplace dangerous, which I'm kind of glad to hear, because in previous trips with Bible League, we have gone into some very, very dangerous situations. But we've been told, we're not going to be going anywhere dangerous. I'll have the opportunity of preaching at least twice. And we'll be distributing Bibles many times to people who have never, ever had a Bible before. So I'm looking forward to it. Pray for Joy as she keeps all the home fires burning. And she really does. She keeps everything going at our house. I mean, she really does. And so I wish you would pray for her as well while I am gone. Speaking of Muslim countries, brand new report out today from several Christian organizations that watch persecution around the world. And I'm reading through the article earlier today. It's a 3-page article, but this paragraph popped off the page at me, and not because of where I'm going tomorrow, but just because of the fact we need to be concerned about this here in America. Here is the headline of this paragraph. Where Islam reigns, Christians suffer. Now, this is a somewhat common theme on this program, that we are in a real conundrum. Because as followers of Christ, we are commanded to love everyone. We are commanded to love everyone. We're commanded to love our enemies. So should we love Muslims? Of course we should. Should we hope for their destruction? Of course not. Should we encourage violence towards Muslims? No. No, of course not. But at the same time, Scripture says we're to be wise as serpents and harmless as doves. And if we're to be as wise as serpents, we need to realize, and let me again quote, where Islam reigns, Christians suffer. Bill Donahue of the Catholic League and Gatestone Institute and the Christian Ministry Open Doors put together this this report, this study. And it points out statistics. Let me quote. Statistics show 38 of the 50 most oppressive nations for Christians to reside in are governed by Muslim leadership. Four more are run by communists. So, of the 50 most oppressive nations on planet Earth for Christians, 38 are Muslim-majority nations. Another four are run by communists. So that's 42 of the 50 are either communist or Muslim. The overwhelming majority is Muslim. Bill Donahue said, quote, for all the talk about an Islamic reformation, it appears that nothing has changed. The violence against Christians is epidemic, yet there is little in the way of Christian persecution of Muslims. And that is true. Can I repeat that? The violence against Christians is epidemic, yet there is little in the way of Christian persecution of Muslims. Does it happen? Yes. Occasionally. Tiny percentage. But violence against Christians by Muslims is epidemic. Then the other countries that are the worst for Christians are left-leaning, secular European nations. So you put that all together, the most oppressed nations for Christians, 38 are Muslim, four of them are communist, and the other eight are left-leaning, secular European countries. So, if you want to know if we should be concerned about a large influx of Muslim immigrants, you know, no matter where they're from, Somalia or any other predominantly Muslim nation, if you want to know whether we should be concerned about that, look at what's happened in France. Look at what's happened in Germany in the predominantly Muslim communities. It's been absolutely chaotic. And we hear Democratic politicians often talking about Islamophobia. Hear it all the time. Islamophobia, the persecution of Muslims in America. And yet, if you look at the actual facts, what is the religion in America that receives the most persecution? It's not Islam. It's Jews. Jews, by far, are the most persecuted religion in America. But if you were to go down to Broad and High and take a survey, I don't know this for sure. This is conjecture on my part, but I think educated conjecture. The overwhelming majority of people, when asked that question, what religion in America is the most persecuted, the most hated, the most reviled? I think almost everyone would say Muslims. Nope. Jews. So I think our government needs to be wise as serpents and harmless as doves. We need to have an immigration policy that welcomes people. It's what America is about. but an immigration policy that welcomes but also is extremely cautious of the potential as Islamic immigration increases. It is a concern. But as Christians, we need to find ways to evangelize all groups, every group.
Today's news, God's Word, and your thoughts. This is Bob Burney Live.
Welcome again to Bob Burney Live. This story resonates a little bit with me. We talked about the Super Bowl earlier, and I meant to actually to deal with this story while I was talking about the Super Bowl, but it resonates with me because it deals with a pastor in Wichita, Kansas. I am not familiar with this pastor, but I am familiar with the church where he has been pastor since 1988, I think. Joy and I were in Wichita from 1972 to 1976, and I knew the pastor of this church quite well back then, but that pastor has passed away, and this man has been there since 1988. Mike O'Donnell was his name. Huge Kansas City Chiefs fan. Huge Kansas City Chiefs fan. And, of course, they had not been in the Super Bowl for 50 years. And when the Chiefs made it to the Super Bowl, they're in Wichita, and someone provided a trip to go to the Super Bowl. I don't know whether it was someone in his church or someone else said, hey, Pastor, you love the Chiefs, and somebody provided the trip and the tickets. You know, the tickets, the cheap seats are $2,500. I don't know any of the details, what the seats cost. I don't know any none of my business. But anyway, Saturday night before the game, they went down to the stadium, and you could pose with the Lombardi Trophy, which is the Super Bowl trophy. And I'm looking at a picture of this pastor, his wife, and I don't know whether it's his son and daughter-in-law or daughter and son-in-law. The man looks a lot like the pastor, so I'm kind of assuming it's his son and daughter. Anyway, they're standing next to the Lombardi Trophy on Saturday night, and they're happy as can be. They go back to the hotel Saturday night. He passes away in his sleep on Saturday night. In Miami, in a hotel. The family is there to enjoy the Super Bowl, and never made it. Now, immediately, the skeptic would say, this man served God all of his life, and he died just before he wanted to do something nice. Other people might say, well, a pastor had no business being there at the Super Bowl anyway, and God just killed him. Well, none of those things are true. His son said this, quote, I'm absolutely heartbroken to share that my dad, my biggest supporter and the greatest man I know, passed away unexpectedly this morning. He was in Miami getting ready for the Super Bowl to watch his beloved Chiefs. Our family is absolutely devastated and would appreciate your prayers. We know with certainty he is with our Savior. Here's the only comment. I am not going to pretend to know the mind of God and things like this. How would I know the mind of God? What was the purpose and the plan of God in this? He's away from home. He's going to, a lifelong goal, like the bucket list was go to a Super Bowl, and his Chiefs, lifelong Chiefs fan, he's down there and he dies the morning of the game and never sees it. But I know this. I know the church, and I never met him, don't know him, but I know several people who do. And at his memorial service, Christ is going to be honored. The gospel is going to be presented. And I would imagine that probably some people will come to Christ and accept Christ as Savior. Folks, listen to me. And this is applicable to every part of our life. Our purpose on this earth is to bring glory to God. And most of you know this, but listen to me. Listen to this fresh. Our purpose on this earth is to bring glory to God. Our real purpose is not to have a job and have a family and to make money. And that's not our purpose. Our purpose is to bring glory to our Creator. That's why we were created. God created us for His benefit, not the other way around. The secular worldview, if they believe in God, believe that God exists for our purpose. God's the big vending machine up in the sky, and the only reason God exists is for our purposes. It's exactly the opposite. We exist for His purpose. All right, so back to the point. Our ultimate goal, our ultimate purpose on this earth is to bring glory to God. We surrender to God. From then on, it is up to God as to how He receives glory. Sometimes He chooses to receive glory by just blessing us, blessing us, blessing us, blessing us. All right? The owner of the, since we're talking Super Bowl, the owner of the Chiefs, I've forgotten his first name. Hunt is the last name, part of the Hunt family. His team just won the Super Bowl last night, and he has given God glory. He gave God glory before the game, during the game, and in the post-game interview. Gave glory to God, okay? So God chose to receive glory from a billionaire. Well, he's at least a multimillionaire. And his team, lifelong dream, won the Super Bowl. And so God gets glory. This dear pastor goes to Miami to see the same game, not as the owner, but a spectator, a fan, and he dies before he can see it. But if God receives glory, it's the same thing. We surrender. It's up to God to determine how He gets glory. Sometimes it's by just pouring out His blessings on a family and everything is fine and wonderful and the kids are doing great. And sometimes families go through horrible situations of brokenness and sorrow and tragedy. If God gets the glory, that's the only thing that matters. It's not up to us as to how God chooses to get glory. We surrender. He chooses.